So welcome. I'm going to go ahead and open the committee. This is the Joint Committee on Information Technology for the Ways and Means for April 23rd. Sean, you want to tell us what we're going to do today?
You bet. Chair Riley, representatives in the audience, today we're going to hear from the Secretary of State audit team. They just completed an audit about a month ago on IT oversight of major IT projects. And then we'll have the state CIO give a brief audit response and then move into a broader presentation on enterprise IT systems and enterprise IT reports that are required through a variety of means, either through budget notes or statutes. So first up, we have the Secretary of State audit team.
Great. Thank you. If you'd come on up and welcome.
And if you could remember to introduce yourself for the record.
And again, a reminder, some of the committee are coming from other committees and may come in a little late. So,
okay. Chair Riley, thank you very much for the opportunity to present this audit. My name is Gary Blackmer. I'm the director of the Secretary of State Audits Division. One of the questions that often comes up is, why did we choose this audit topic? And what we essentially, given the a number of challenges that the state has had in introducing large IT projects, we felt like it might be worthwhile to look back at a number of them. There may be a thousand ways for a project to go wrong and only a few ways for it to go right. So we wanted to figure out what are those ways that it goes wrong so that we can identify recommendations to prevent that. So what we did was we looked back at a number of audits. And so Neil Weatherspoon, the Information Technology Audits Manager, is going to walk through that audit. But I'd also like to introduce the entirety of our IT audit team. I was going to make a pitch for, we have a pop to ask for more auditors, and we had a couple of the members here on our Ways and Means Committee, but behind me is Erica Ungern. She was the lead on this audit, but we also have Matt Owens and Teresa Furnish and Amy Mettler, and they've all worked on this audit or other audits that were referenced in this audit in terms of the learnings we got out of these kinds of projects and how they were managed and the kinds of issues they encountered. So we hope that what comes of this is something that helps the state avoid problems in the future, or at least reduce the numbers of them, because I think some are just bound to happen in these complex situations. So with that, I'd like to introduce Neil Weatherspoon.
Co-Chair Riley, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Neil Weatherspoon, and I've been the IT Audit Manager at Secretary of State's Audits Division for a little over 15 years, I believe. And I'm here today to discuss an audit that we just completed on the statewide look at system development. And with that, the purpose of the audit was to evaluate, as Mr. Blackmore indicated, kind of the state where we are with system development. As I said, I've been with the Arts Division, almost a couple of decades, and in that time, I've seen many IT projects. Some that have gone reasonably well, and a number that have not. And there have been a number of audits that we have conducted over that time that where we have identified issues that or opportunities for improvement, and some of those have been heated, and some of them with great difficulty. The essentially what we did, we looked at a number of audits that we have conducted fairly recently, within the last decade anyway, that have where things have not gone well, and we evaluated the not only what we saw in those audits regarding problems that occurred, but we also looked at what independent consultants viewed as lessons learned, and the agencies themselves identified as lessons learned. And the focus for our audit was to look at all those lessons learned and what possibly and what has, you know, gone wrong in some of the implementations, and then identify what kinds of controls that we might have today to address, you know, those kinds of things to ensure that we've got the best shot at avoiding those kinds of problems. And if we look at, you know, the first bullet on that slide, it indicates, you know, the magnitude of what we do here with the state with IT. Right now, we, you know, look going off some of the information that was provided us by the agencies, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 billion of IT projects that are either in process or in some stages of preparation to go. And with that, you know, I might just indicate that, number one, IT system development is something that never ends. We're never done. We're never done, and by the way, we're never safe. There's always opportunities to make missteps and to make mistakes, and it's something that's expected. As we look over the what happens at not only the private sector, but certainly the federal government, indicated that one of the things that's the difference between the federal government's problem and our government's problem has to do with about 6-0s. We see constantly, you know, at every level of not only government but the private sector, where IT projects come in jeopardy. Some are completely scrapped. Others, you know, are implemented with some significant reservations. And so the state isn't any different than what we see out not only in the private sector, but certainly in other governments, other states, and the federal government. So it's, with all of that said, you know, there are still some things that can be done to at least eliminate or mitigate, you know, some of the risks that occur. So, as I said, one of the things that we did was we looked at those lessons learned, and I might say that oftentimes there are lessons not learned. And in evaluating this thing, well, what do we have today that would, you know, counteract some of those issues that we've seen, you know, prior to? And one of the things that we came up with is, shortly after our new CIO joined our ranks, he, you know, saw a need for some centralized control over some of those, you know, the major IT projects and lesser IT projects. And he implemented, you know, through his staff, what is known as StageGate. And StageGate is a centralized control mechanism for identifying and controlling IT risks during system implementation. Well, what did we find in our view? So a lot of our audit was centered on, well, would StageGate now, you know, resolve some of the problems that we've seen in the past? You know, as it sits, this new mechanism, and, you know, what's the status of agencies? This, as I said, this is a multi-agency issue or problem, because it's not Mr. Pettit's total responsibility to make sure everything goes right, because he has to rely on agencies themselves who do, you know, the majority of the work when it comes to implementation, or the contractors that they hire to put, you know, systems in place. And also the LFO has analysts that assist in the process, and there are other folks who, you know, at different levels that have their hand and eyes and ears on the project, and legislature certainly provides the funding, along with the federal government, who sometimes also gets their hand into what a project will consist of, and also, you know, how it will be defined and run. So one of the first things that we noticed in our audit, in looking at the numbers and, you know, the magnitude of everything, is that we've got very few people actually at a centralized level in Department of Administrative Services that actually are, you know, involved in that stage gate process of evaluating the projects and assisting agencies in their implementation. That, you know, three and a half, four people looking over a sum total of, you know, tens, you know, almost 100 projects doesn't give you a whole lot. And even with the stage gate process, a lot of what occurs is those folks who, by the way, we recognize as being very competent and diligent, what those folks will look at. It's a very daunting task, of which we recognize that they're really not staffed to do it, right, you know, at the present time. And during 2014, they actually put on 40, they accepted 41 new projects, you know, in addition to the 30 that they already had on their plate. And as we look, and we recognize that it would be very difficult or impossible for that kind of staff to provide the kind of oversight that the level of risk that would be attached to those would warrant. Then we also looked at the stage gate, you know, what they had to work with, you know, those few staff, and found out that it's what, in their words, a work in process. Certainly, you know, it's one of those things where it isn't established. You know, the policies, procedures, all of what goes into what stage gate really is, has yet to be, you know, fully defined. And the folks who would do that are busy, you know, doing, you know, oversight of projects. And so, you know, the opportunity to actually add some maturity to the process is problematic, you know, where the need is immediate. The next thing that we recognize is that, you know, even if everything were defined as they now, you know, really know it, there are many things that they would not, you know, necessarily, you know, some of those problems that we identified before and that we've experienced before, that they would be able to either identify or mitigate. You know, there's especially, you know, in the planning stages of any system development project, this is where, you know, you've really defined what it is you're going to do. And stage gate, even, you know, as they're looking over largely documents and things like that, it's very difficult to know, especially if the agencies haven't, you know, defined it well, or correctly what it is that needs to be done. And so we found that to be, a weakness in, the stage gate process. And it's because the Department of Administrative Services, as they're going over this, they have a certain dependency on agencies really knowing what they want and defining, the very specific needs that can, go into books. You know, they get into one of the issues that certainly needs to be taken into consideration is that many of the large IT projects take years, sometimes, close to a decade to define and to, implement. And during that time, things change. People come, people go. It's a very daunting task to keep, that within the within scope and within the boundaries that were initially planned. So you're always in a state of planning. You're always in a state of some state of flux when it comes to especially long and lengthy and complicated system developments. Also, we've noted in the past contract management and project management issues that can come into play also, just keeping everyone on task and accountable for what they have promised, that they would do. There's always this tug and pull of, is this something that we can accept or something that is unacceptable? And then the third issue that we came up with is that, by and large, state agencies, most of them, are ill-prepared, with themselves, to do and to shepherd a project that's a daunting task, and it's not something that for many agencies that they ever do. It may be they may have one or two major systems that they replace every two decades or something like that, so they necessarily can't maintain the kind of staff with the experience level to approach that type of a system development. And not only do they do the small agencies have those kinds of problems, large agencies who actually do some of the and have done system development still have a difficult time maintaining the level of expertise that is necessary and would ensure that systems would system developments would go forward, as they should be. Some agencies have recognized this and have contracted out and obtained that expertise from the outside, and with mixed success. Some have done well with that, and others still just because you have an outside contractor involved in some of the important aspects doesn't mean that it'll necessarily go right. And then the last piece that we found was what do you do when with StageGate, when people or agencies haven't complied with the requirements, or where noticeable problems are present, and that becomes a tug and pull decision. We noted that one of the things that would be one way to mitigate that, or would be to consider finishing off StageGate and providing some context as to what the expectations really are, and that, you know, the consequences of not following through with those. Well, we've come down to recommendations. Well, how are we going to, you know, what can we provide the agencies and Department of Administrative Services and our good CIO? What are some of the suggestions that we would have for them? First is to ensure that you're appropriately staffed. If you really don't have the people to do the things that you know are critical, that you know they're important, if you really don't have that, then, you know, we need to find, you know, a way to achieve, you know, appropriate level of staffing. And finish off, you know, what, you know, you've indicated that StageGate, you know, the vision we see as being excellent, you know, that it's a great idea, but in order for it to be you know, appropriate, it needs to be finished. You need to create the policies, procedures. You need to come to what we would call a maturity level there. The second recommendation had to do with, you know, establishing and implementing those processes, and I've got listed on that slide a number of things, and I won't go through it for the sake of time, but it's essentially, you know, finishing off, you know, what you've started to do there. Third recommendation would be to, you know, and we see this as a significant recommendation. As I said, much of the responsibility for doing system development lies at the agencies, who are struggling. Many of them, most of them, are struggling. And so if they're struggling, they need help. And so we need, as a state, to provide a way, you know, to bolster, you know, the expertise, to provide, you know, a way to ensure that help is there when help is needed. And then the last recommendation, we think that it's important, you know, if you've established the rules and the way of the road and everything that you establish, and everyone realizes what consequences, you know, could and should occur in order to not after the fact, but as things are going, right the ship. And with that, we'd like to, number one, thank you for this opportunity to provide this information for the legislature and for the citizens of Oregon. And to, you know, if you've got questions, we could certainly, Mr. Blackmore here can answer anything.
And I know you brought all these people because you wanted to be sure you could answer any questions. Any questions from committee? Go ahead.
Thank you. You mentioned it briefly, and I'm not sure whether you're not the ones to ask this question, but I am particularly concerned about the security of the data, mm-hmm. and how that is kept. You know, we read literally daily, I think, about a breach of data, not necessarily in terms of the projects, but the breach of data generally. Did you attempt to address that? You did mention it very briefly in your presentation.
Mm-hmm. Chair Riley, Representative Frederick, we have, with every one of our audits, when we're looking at systems, security is a component of our review, and we prepare confidential memos for the agency that describes in detail what those security risks are and recommendations around it. And that statute allows us to issue confidential memoranda because obviously it tells what those security risks are. So we are very, we're very careful in keeping those confidential. We also do major audits like of the state data center on a regular basis on security issues, and we've done a series of those over the years, and we're actually in there now doing another audit of security. And we look at those systems that they have and make recommendations, and we've done audits from different strategies because security is a concern for us. We've raised it repeatedly, and we see that the state is not keeping up with the risks that are out there, and the risks seem to be growing every day. And so it's a top concern for us, and we're continually going back to the state data center. It's one part of it, but the other part is also the agencies. And if they're not able to kind of keep their systems well tended and maintained, they face security risks. If when they're designing new systems, that needs to be a key component of it. So those are all aspects that I think play out here as well. Did I cover it?
Absolutely.
See, he did. He managed to have the answers after.
Yeah. So there were two or three things that you mentioned that I was looking at and saying, yeah, that's a great idea. How are we going to do that? The first one was the very first issue, which is staffing. And, it's a great thing to say you need more staff. Everybody, that's easy to say. How do we do that?
Co-Chair Riley and members of the committee, that's a good question. one that, I'm not sure that I've got your answer for you. As I contemplate, I have similar kinds of staffing issues as just an IT team, an IT audit team. And we found, at the Secretary of State anyway, for IT audit, it's really cost prohibitive to go out and buy, that kind of thing sometimes, the expertise that you need, the people, especially in some situations where it may be a temporary need. You've got an agency who doesn't do, these kinds of things, but very periodically, they can't have the staffing on board all the time. There have been some efforts in the past to at Department of Administrative Services to have a team available, a project development, team that could be shared, and that had, limited success, and still a lot of it comes down to a lot of the problems and a lot of the information has to reside with the agency, so you have to kind of grow it. And so, you've got different kinds of ways to approach that, either from using outside sources when applicable, making sure that your approach to system development is not necessarily creating the world each time, but limiting, what it is that they're doing so that your staff that you have may be able to handle, the implementation task at hand. But very, very good question. And sorry to say, the auditor really doesn't have the full answer. We do know that, one of the things, if StageGate were to be successful, you would have to have enough people to actually do the task that is there.
Chair Riley, if I could add another little piece to that, which is in some ways we're paying for it right now with outdated systems that require extra manual work from all the operational staff in terms of just the age of these systems and the extra work that's required to keep them going and patch them and keep them operating. So those costs are being borne in a different way in the agencies. So the idea that we don't have the money to upgrade these systems or to develop adequate staff for StageGate, I think it's more a matter of trying to figure out how we can build in these economies that come from new systems so that it's realized in a more centralized way. The difficulty that I think DAS and any other centralized agency has is that the savings are kind of broadcast in small amounts through a lot of different agencies and people's work days that they can't bring in and cash in on when those efficiencies happen, and the workload kind of that the line staff have eat up those savings. So if a caseworker in Children Protective Services can spend an hour less doing data entry because ORCIDS has some new thing added to it that improves it, it's taken up with kids, which we'd want, as opposed to being able to pay for a position in DAS to manage the successful implementation of that program. So even at that level, it's a difficult thing to accomplish, but we are paying in different ways for old systems, and we've got a big backlog. And I guess one thing that might be considered would be that StageGate simply say, we're going to be selective in the projects we do. We know there's a big backlog out there, and we're going to match the workload that we can handle with the staff that we have, and some projects are going to get attention and some won't.
Yeah, and I think that's being done right now. I think that's something that we're thinking about, and I know the CIO is thinking about, and that process of prioritization is occurring. But one other question, if I may. You talked about consequences. And given the autonomy of agencies in this state government, how do you see that happening?
Chair Riley, we actually kind of kicked around a bunch of different ideas, and we threw out a couple of potential strategies in our audit report, which, I mean, obviously number one is they would get heightened scrutiny by the StageGate folks, more, you know, accountability, more meetings, and greater attention to detail. I think formally communicating with the governor, Senate president, Speaker of the House would certainly ramp up the attention, because in some ways, if StageGate does not report on imminent disaster, it tends to own it. Whereas if it can at least report out that we have seen serious problems here and we have concerns, it tends to put it back on the agency to address it. So I think there's issues, there are strategies like that. The idea of suspending funding may be possible, but if they've got programmers in a room and telling them to stop and wait till they figure something out, it can be pretty expensive on a daily basis. So I don't know that that's necessarily good, but it is tied to funding, so it's a possibility there, or at least tightening up the stages a little bit and saying, we're going to make you come in here, you know, and we're going to have some interim reports because we don't know that you're going to make it to the next stage.
Okay. Representative, anything else? Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Senator Riley, members of the committee, we do have the state CIO here to give a brief audit response.
Good.
And again, if you could remember to introduce yourself for the record.
Get my material together first. Thank you. Chairman Riley, Representative Frederick, my name is Alex Pettit. I'm the Chief Information Officer for the State of Oregon. I don't have a presentation in response. It's just a couple of things, perhaps, that will answer some of the questions of the committee members. We agree the Office of the State CIO is under-resourced. This is based upon a process of stage gating for projects that was established in Oklahoma that we had done. So this wasn't a new thing. We revised it with the Legislative Fiscal Office and detailed it out together, and this is actually a cooperative effort. One of the things that's been very helpful to us has been the synergy of working with members of the LFO to work through. Having a unified process allows us a more synergistic approach to it than perhaps we had in the past, you know, with different people looking for different things or what have you. And it brought it's bringing consistency, more consistency to the agencies and more understanding about what it is going to be expected. One of the things when we speak about maturity, we speak about having a defined process that's performed in a repeatable way, that's measurable, and that's really what this is establishing, is first getting your process defined what it is, and then doing it over and over the same sort of way, kind of like the way I'm talking today. I guess the second point is we agree the stage gate needs to be further defined and developed. Transforming state from funding concepts to projects has really been where I've told you I wanted to come from, and when we got here, we did a lot of things around funding some ideas of things, and now we're promoting we're getting to where we're only going to fund projects from here going forward. So real projects that are defined, that have a good chance of success, that we all understand what it is it's going to do, and with routine check-ins as to how they're doing. Because, again, ours is a discipline of failure. You know, we do things wrong. We try something different. We do it wrong. We try it different until we get it right. Accelerating that cycle time of failure, recognizing that you have a failure, and course adjusting is what we do in IT. It's like driving a car. You know, you just keep making little adjustments as you go. So that's how we do it there. We agree that the guide to guide or direct agencies who lack resources to do this, but the problem becomes at what point do you get into where you're providing resources to the agency and you start evaluating your own work. So it's a very difficult thing sometimes to coach someone when it's hard to teach, you know, a lot of times. It's easier to do, it's very difficult to teach. So that's been one of our challenges and continues to be our challenge. OSCIO is not the sole source, IT source to the state. Failure becomes evident in the build, but the sources from the business requirements and the design process are really where the failure begins, and that's why there's so much emphasis in those first three gates of the process, is trying to catch those before we get into execution. Mr. Blackman had said, that was where the expenses, where you have folks sitting around, you know, programmers sitting around, you got to go back and, you know, suspend what they're doing. At that point, you're already in the build process, and so that's when you know you got a problem. We need to identify the problem in the design, in the consultant, the design piece, so we never get to build with a problem, you know, or at least if we do, it's less of a problem. We don't have to suspend everything. And the last thing is when we get into the slippery slope of consequences, one of the things that we have is there's a few things that we're doing to address this. First of all, the natural consequences, particularly in those early stages, we have slowed down several projects as they have been going through right now, and we'll go through that in my presentation next. There are several projects that perhaps in a previous regime would have gone through without perhaps the same level of scrutiny as they're going through right now. As a consequence, they're moving much slower, but they're moving at a more sustainable pace because of the quality of the work that's being done and the quality of the analysis that's coming into it, and have a better chance of success is our expectation. Other things that are going on, as you know, there's a policy option package that's out there that we're looking to help us augment some of our resources, as well as the 3099, House Bill 3099, which will, as a problem is identified, give us more opportunity to come in and intervene directly on what we think is perhaps something that they ought to do to fix the issue. So those are really all my points. Are there any questions?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure this is a question so much as an observation. What I have found is that you may be doing one thing with one agency, and you now have a set of expectations. but the other agencies don't know that you had those expectations. Mm-hmm. And as a result, there's not the communication that this is what we're looking for now. Mm-hmm. This is a new approach. This is what we're looking for now. I'm not sure how you get that communication component in there, but I think it might help. You're coming to us and telling us what's going on, talking with certain agencies, with the Secretary of State's office, with the auditors there. That's good, but if DHS doesn't know that you're doing this same kind of thing with employment, it would be very helpful for them to know that kind of thing. I don't think there's that cross reference situation.
Chairman Riley, Representative Frederick, thank you for the question or the statement. You are correct. We have done an insufficient amount of work to disseminate this to the organization, and we're working on it. We've met with what we call the CIO Council. We've met with other groups. But the big thing that's really going to bring this forward is as we roll out the PPM, the Project and Portfolio Management tool. So we'll be going through that in the next presentation. That is that brings the stage gate to life, if you want to know the truth. It is the process. It's the tool that brings the process to life, so you know why it is what we would call in Oklahoma what you're stuck on high center on, and what you need to do to get the thing rolling again, and that's really going to be the vehicle that we're going to use to disseminate this process and to get understanding and work with the agencies to improve their practice.
Appreciate that. I also believe that you still need a translator every once in a while, so that's fine.
I realize that. And I'm trying.
You're doing fine. Thank you. But my concern is that the folks in the ranks, mm-hmm. you're getting that information is getting to some of the mm-hmm. higher up folks. I'm not sure that it translates down. And so that's the concern that I have, and I'm not sure exactly how you get that point across, because there's a sense that, well, that's above my pay grade, I don't need to worry about it, when in fact they are the ones that really need to be very, very heavily involved in this. So I'm just curious about that and concerned. When it comes to things like I mentioned regarding security, et cetera, it's something that I think we need to be paying particularly close attention to. Everyone, not just the head honcho or the CIO.
Chairman Riley, Representative Frederick, thank you. Yes, it is one of those things where we call that the tragedy of the commons, right? When everybody is responsible for it, nobody's responsible for it. And that's kind of our struggle with security. It's our struggle with requirements. It's our struggle with project management. What we're hoping we can do is, although it is a common area, someone or some group or someone needs to be accountable for how that is maintained, otherwise we end up with a big old mud pit in the middle of the city, so we've got to have someone that's accountable, and that is one of the things I believe that the Secretary of State's audit does try to articulate to some degree. I hope I'm not taking too great a liberties with their report, but I do agree this is a cultural change and it will take time. So
thank you.
So If you're going to cover this in your presentation, just say so. But if you could speak just a little bit about the prioritization issue that came up, the idea that we can't do everything, so how do we decide what to do?
Chairman Riley, those are very difficult things to answer, and when you're looking at problems around prioritization, and no, it is not in my presentation. You're really talking about governance, and when you're talking about how do you ascertain if a project for childcare is more or less important than a longitudinal data system, is more or less important than a system for public safety, vines tracking victim information, system. Those are answers that really come down to they have to be sought to by a governance process of some sort. And so we're not going to go through that now, and we don't have really the time for it. But there is a governance process that's established for trying to identify those trade-offs in the enterprise leadership team and the enterprise IT governance process. Enterprise IT governance is a subgroup to the enterprise leadership team. So I'd like to save that. It's a very good question. I'm happy to provide you information around how we do it today, or to bring it forward again in a future discussion, if you would like.
Well, I think you and I can discuss that later, maybe. So why don't we go ahead with the next presentation, and I think that's yours, then.
Yes, sir.
As Dr. Pettit is transitioning, I just wanted to mention to the committee members and to those listening, we did post the Secretary of State audit in full on the website, and that document includes the agency's response.
Mm-hmm. So, for the record, I'm Alex Pettit, the Chief Information Officer for the State of Oregon. I'm glad to present this status report. Let's get through it. So we're going to cover four things: the PPM tool, the major IT project update, the tenable inventory and security scan, and then specifically, note by note, the budget report. So PPM, what is it, why, and where? Pretty simple. What? All right, I'm not going to read all that. It's a lot of stuff to read there. But basically, it is a way for us to – so I'm a big believer in what's called ITIL, the Information Technology Infrastructure Library. It is a process for – it's a book of standards, a library of standards of how things should be done. And you can do the same – you can have different people, but do it the same way over and over again. That's how you mature an organization. So you have a defined process that's performed and done in the same way to the same quality repetitively. So it doesn't matter what the request is. If it's a catalog request, something that's like right out that we usually give, it's an enhancement to an application, what we call an enhancement service request. If it's a configuration change, if it's an incident response, we handle it the same way repetitively. And then we all know this is how we do it. This is, and we can demonstrate, and that's how we improve ourselves. No, I'm not going to read all that. It's too busy. This is another very busy slide. But basically, this one I wanted to put in there, again, this is a big part of the why. This is required by statute to maintain the state's IT investment as a portfolio, handled differently by each agency. We lack uniformity, not timely or correct, limited by time and resources, lacking transparency, without the ability to manage the IT investment lifecycle. So we are unable to make timely, informed decisions related to oversight, budget build, project execution. And so there was a form when I got here. It was called a BR00. I don't even remember what the thing was. You know, it had a big old long name that every agency would fill out of what they had, what they did, and what they were going to do. And really, the PPM tool is envisioned to be what they're going to do. If I can capture the activities of the agencies in a project portfolio management tool, then I don't have to be filling out forms that as soon as I get them are out of date, half of them are done wrong, and I got to collate the things to figure out where I got overlap and what have you. It automates the process for me, and it makes it a much more elegant way to do it without having to have so much labor and resource invested in it. All right, so we get our project initiation documents. We go through our process for assessing the risk. And then over there is what I call my beach ball chart. So this will automatically generate what I used to call in Oklahoma my beach balls. We don't have too many beaches in Oklahoma, but that's why I call it anyway. So the bigger the bubble, the bigger the beach ball, it meant it cost me more, you know. And in my case, it was actually we did it by return on investment. So the bigger the beach ball, the bigger the return on investment. Oh, goodness. She didn't want me to talk. What's this thing doing? Is this thing going backwards? Well, I can't go back on this. Escape. What did you do to me now? Did I hit that a couple times or something? That was not too good. Control L. All right. So the smaller, it goes from low to high alignment and high to low project risk. So really what you want are those that are highly aligned and the lowest risk. You know, so the lower left-hand corner are the best projects that we can do. I mean, not lower left. The ones that are in the upper right are the best ones we can do. And these are, again, what we were looking for is those projects that have the best return on our investment, that have the lowest, risk to us, that offer us that bring about the greatest benefit to the organization. So All right. So why do we need PPM? So it's one of those things that's in the our key initiatives. This will come from the strategic plan when I present that in a few weeks. Enterprise portfolio management. Strategic alignment mandate. So this is all the stuff around, and that's actually in the appendix. It goes through chapter and verse what we say, how it is supposed to be done. So legal, regulatory, and policy mandates, and ties to the Oregon, and ties to the EIRM. All right. Implementation of phase one of the ITG framework and develop as a legislative package and staffing plan for complete program implementation. Implementation of the governance framework was to increase enterprise IT coordination, compliance, reduce duplication, and align our solutions. So streamline portfolio management process. That's what we're trying to do. All right, and Senator Johnson really liked this when I spoke to it audibly a week or so ago, that, you know, there's really only four things we do in IT. We consult, we design, we build, and we run. That's it. This piece of it here, this shows how we're trying to overlay, we're trying to grab the, we die in the build. That's where we die, is everyone dies in the build. That's where the mistakes are found, and that's where it's most expensive to fix it. So by shifting our focus, particularly with tools like the PPM and the strategic technology officers and such, we're trying to get the focus on the consultant, the design, so that we catch our errors there. It's much cheaper to catch them there than when we get into the build. And as you can see, the overlap is with the analysts there as we get towards the end of consulting, and then completely with the design, and then less with the build. So that's really what we're trying to do. That's the stage gate process. There is the end of consult through design and build. That's what the PPM tool does. All right, and so we got a funnel here. Basically, that's what I'm saying. As projects come in, whatever they are, they have to go through. They have to meet certain criteria, or they don't go to the. They don't go down the funnel. They don't go through the gate. They don't continue on. You know, they just kind of sit there and circle for a while. So those are the projects. That's what we say. Those are the projects. Really, that's the process that goes through, as a funneling process. And this is, and again, we go through a maturity process. As we first establish a process, we have a portfolio defined, and then as we do it repetitively and we roll it out to all the agencies so that everybody's getting and inputting their projects, we become more and more mature. We make that cultural change, as Representative Fredericks was asking me about. We make that cultural transition to where it is where everybody's doing it, where we do have that insight holistically. That's really what we're hoping to do here. All right, so our intended outcomes: portfolio-based management of investments, improved project management maturity, reporting from that tool, identification of shared services opportunities, use of the PPM for project prioritization and oversight, and improved maturity. Provide a project portfolio management solution and education for agencies who do not currently have any tool at all. Many, many, many of our agencies do this with Big Chief tablets and number two pencils. Yeah. So, limitation authority for 388,000 received. We did it in January. I tell you what, this has been a tough project. At first, we had a heck of a time getting the thing approved. You know, with the procurement thing, we had some snafus with that. We had some unexpected changes in personnel from the vendor, but we fought through all of that, and we're still on track here now. We've had some things that have bitten us, but we're still on track to go forward. So funds are going to be spent on licenses, implementation, administrative training, and that's really it. So implementation, that's my big cost there, right, out of that whole thing. That's like three-quarters of the cost. All right, so implementation includes configuration of the app, use of the tool for a pilot agency, in this case DOR, Department of Revenue, upload of the project data for us to start going, testing, training the end user staff, and train the administrator and administrative functions of the tool. So that's really all we're trying to get done here, and it takes us a long time to get that all under control. It is a complicated tool, and we'll get into that in a minute. All right, so schedule overview. We are at the red line where it says today. We're going to meet that 429 requirements and value realization metric. We're going to meet the completion of deadline, design docs, and then we're going to go into user testing there. So we think we're in good shape right now. Actually, just the day before, I think it was the day before yesterday, it could have just been yesterday, we actually had the Department of Revenue came in, and we were prepared for a week's worth of customization of things like field name changes and things that they would be, so it would speak their language. They chose to adopt the tools language for describing those things instead of trying to change the tools names for them, cut out a week of so I'm feeling a lot better now than I was yesterday. So, you know, it's actually, I may bring this one. Well, let's just say we're going to bring it in on time. We're just going to leave it at that for now. I forget I'm on the record. Majority of IT projects fail in the build, right? You know, that's one on the left there. That's you know, I've been to places like that.
Yes, I have.
And again, it's because fundamentally because of a lack of planning. So when we don't do our planning well, this is what happens to us, is we're going to have to adapt something else. Cut the door, cut the floor, and the whatever it is, because, well, we didn't think, you know, we just, thing didn't make sense. So, all right, so now we're going to do the major project IT update. And again, this is still a completely manual process, right? You know, that's how we do it right now. So as of April, I want to remind you that this is not, you know, it's not quite rocket science, but it's not, you know, this is no simple thing. This is going to be, this is the process and the elements that are being built into the PPM tool. I mean, every one of these things is going to have a tag out in the PPM tool. Not everyone's going to be required for every project, but it's going to be in there. There is a logic path that this thing flows through to get, and not just this simplified thing, but that's associated with all of these different things, the reviews across the top or the elements, the items across the bottom. This is a very sophisticated tool we're bringing in, and we're building now. So, and again, the reason is because IT projects are big and they are complicated. So it takes a complicated tool, imagine a complicated project. All right, so this is kind of the simpler way of looking at it. All new major IT projects will develop incrementally, ensuring that key milestones are met before it continues. This is the stage gate. So it's being automated in the PPM tool. Origination, initiation, planning, execution, monitoring, and closeout. That's a racetrack that it runs around there in the execution. So it does the work, and then they go through another check, and then they do the next one, and so on. It all depends upon if it's RUP or Agile or COTS or MOPS or whatever the thing is we're doing. But basically, it's dependent upon the process for implementation. So. All right, number of track projects and size of investment. Summary of governor's budget proposal to the legislature. So 146 projects of above 150,000, estimated cost of $285 million, all biennial estimated cost of $870 million. So it's a lot of projects. It's a lot of stuff for four folks to keep track of. All right, so simple model, stage gate focus. So we're going to talk about pre-planning, the high-level business planning, the detailed, I call that high-level business planning, a plus or minus 50% plan. You know, give me some idea about, you know, how much is it going to take, give or take 50%, you know, in time and in budget and whatever. A detailed business case and foundational plan, that's a plus or minus 10% plan. So it's like really a tight schedule, a tight budget estimate. I feel much better about a 10% plan. It's like it's really a project there. Detailed planning and execution, all right? All right, I'm not going to read these, I promise. But this is a list of all the projects right now that we're aware of that are in pre-stage one endorsement. There's quite a few of them there, from corrections through youth authority. So, and again, these are posted out there, so if there's interest in them. These are the projects that have passed that stage one endorsement, completed their high-level plans, developing detailed business case and foundational plans. These are the projects with stage two endorsement, complete detailed business case and foundational plans, and developing their highly detailed plans. Magi Medicaid's on there, PERS is on there, FirstNet's on there. So, projects with a stage three endorsement, complete detailed project plans in execution. So, child support system, CSIS, I guess we call that. I won't point out that one. I guess that's it right now. If there are any questions on any of these, you know, I'm happy to take them later. Ferns, that was one of the good ones that's going on. Ferns, actually, I will brag a little about Ferns. Ferns is one of those that has, we're using a lot of the elements that they develop their business case and such as to not only the template, but actually as an example to agencies when we're talking about stuff, what they should be patterning against. So that Ferns project's been very successful. Transportation.
Representative.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'd like to talk with you about the Ferns project. I think it's good. The problem we're having is that many of the people who need to have that information, neighbors, are often off the grid. So they don't have the access to the online notification of a number of things. So it's a part of the mix is to understand that I'm hearing from people who want to know, for instance, when pesticides are being sprayed or herbicides, but they aren't online. That's not
how they
get their information. So they suddenly find themselves sprayed with something. They don't know what it is, and trying to get information, they have to figure out how to do that. It's a recognition that we have various levels of technology out there, or lack of it. I mean, some of the people are intentionally off the grid, but they're living in forested areas. So that's a concern, and we should talk about that at some point.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Project was stage 4 endorsement, completed execution, closing project, and transitioning to an operation. To, you know, again, a previous statement that was made that IT projects never end. You know, they become programs. So, project's on hold. So, I would submit to you, this is the consequence of not following the stage gate process, right? Is they get put on hold. So, you know, that's five of them up there, not too many, but still, those are on hold. All right, now let's go into Tenable. So one of the notes we had in the budget was to do an inventory and to understand better what the changes to the what projects were coming up in the IT world. What was in a lot of cases, a lot of projects that come up are to replace equipment that's either no longer in service or no longer being maintained or is about to become, you know, obsolete for whatever reason. You know, we got, you know, Microsoft SQL 2002 out there or something, and so, you know, we know that's no longer in support, so we got to get that thing upgraded, and so we know that would be a project that's on the way. So that's what this was trying to do. We're trying to do this again. Prior to this tool, this was being done as a manual report. We'd ask people, give us all their equipment, send it in to us, and we'll take it from there. So we're trying to do an automated, repeatable, and accurate, again, that you know, establishing a process and then doing it repeatably improves myself. Consider two approaches, configuration management tools or security vulnerability scanning tools. We selected the security vulnerability scanning approach, significantly lower cost, which was nice, added value as a security tool to help agencies reduce vulnerabilities. So it was It seemed like a good idea when we got into it there. You know, it was like less money we were going to spend, and it would give us the security vulnerabilities. It probes the assets for potential. Now, Tenable is a specific product, so that's the specific product we're using. Probes assets for security weaknesses, gathers inventory in the process, deployed locally in each agency network, reports to a central repository. So those are called Nessus scanners. They sit in the individual agency's network. They report back to a centralized Tenable security center. We had 45 agencies participate. Nearly 35,000 devices were scanned. Some of those devices were storage. Some of those were virtual devices. The preponderance of them, obviously, are actually physical devices, either endpoints or servers or whatever the heck it was. And then printers, you know, about 4,500, 5,000 printers. Inventory on each device included the op system, the browser installed, the office software, the hardware manufacturer, database software, web server platforms, web application platforms. We found that the data quality is inconsistent. Out of them, only 25 considered a reliable data source. Variety of reasons for that. We'll get into that in a minute. 12 agencies, significant underreporting. 8 agencies not getting good data due to technical issues. Why? Good results require authenticated scans. Windows had over 20% failure rate due to authentication issues. You couldn't log into every, you know, some people had individual, they didn't, so within the network, they didn't have the same password for different systems that, that we would be able to get at. Other reporting systems failed had over two-thirds of the time. Comprehensive scans must see the whole network. Complex agency network environments make it hard to scan all devices without more agency investment. So that was our challenge there. So less than half the inventory, or agencies, I should say, covered. Why? Complexity, numerous sessions required just to get that agency started. Agency networks are all unique, requiring involved setup. It wasn't like I could configure one box and give it to them and they could just plug it in and it works. Every one of them, they all have different admin passwords. They all have every one of them is unique. OSCIO and ESO staffing, well, we were a little thin. We got three in that group, and so it was a little tough to get any, you know. And we lost the primary engineer when we were ramping up. And then we also had one or two other things that drew us away from this project. During the time, we had to suspend what we were doing for two different incidents that took us away in the middle of doing this process. And then we had some adoption resistance. So trust issues with centralized vulnerability reporting and competing agency priorities and a lack of available resources from the agency. So a lot of times when we were ready, the agency had something going on and they couldn't get their network person or whoever it was that we were supposed to work with to work with us. So Tenable is excellent for identifying security issues. Tenable doesn't implement inventory reports out of the box. Inventory reports created using custom code to extract information from scanned data had to be done. Not easily repeatable, no flexibility for generating different inventory reports, and we weren't staffed appropriately. But still, I'll tell you this, doing an automated tool and doing a scan and finding out we're better off than we were doing it as a manual process. That's all there is to it. So the report that you have is a better report than going out and asking people, well, tell me what you got, because this is just, but there's no lying to the machine, you know. So tool set and approach needs to change. Tenable is a good security tool. We're going to continue to use it as that. Recommended configuration management tool or an alternate approach to how we're going to do this, we got to figure that out. Staffing changes required. Rolling out and supporting automated inventory requires dedicated staffing, and our priorities aren't really well aligned to inventory. So we have a capacity problem. It's fundamental. You know, professionals debate about strategy, and amateurs debate about strategy, and professionals debate about capacity. We have a capacity problem here. So that's, until I get that relieved, I'm going to potentially run into this again next year. Continue to drive adoption. At least 6 agencies use it for regular vulnerability scanning. We plan to build on this success to get others to do the same. Source training, hands-on time with agencies, increased coverage, and develop a user community. Annual budget support Tenable as an enterprise-level tool. Respect sanctity of agency vulnerability data. So we're trying to work through some of these things as we go forward, you know? All right, last thing are the budget notes. So, you know, just go through one by one through all the budget notes so we get them. So the note. Present any roll-up costs associated with either project that cannot be accommodated in base budget during consideration of the budget in Joint Committee on Ways and Means. We experienced a delay in planning the start date as well as a recent change in the vendor staff, which has moved our completion. This is the PPM tool. Mm-hmm. We've informed the Legislative Fiscal Office of the projected expenditure limitation needs, so it's not going to be any more cash. It's just going to cross a biennium, so we have to have permission to spend it. We won't pay them until they get it done. More on the PPM. Ensure that the private PPM system uses the joint CIO LFO stage gate. That's been identified as the number one deliverable. That's the core of the workflow. All current stage gate projects will be added and will be used as test data during the testing phase of the process. Mandate that the state agencies utilize the PPM project for those that exceed $150,000
because of the number of projects, this is going to be phased in. The initial phase, we're going to look for the big stuff first, the million-plus stuff. We're going to work it out from there, uploading all projects over 150 as areas, you know, starting with what the STOES have, the Transportation Economic Development, Healthy People, Public Safety, and maintenance of that there by either the STO or the OSCIO analyst, or by the agency. We'd like to see the agency or agencies who have a license as part of the initial rollout to use it. The Department of Revenue is the pilot agency and will also load all projects over $150,000. So again, that's that cultural change. It's going to take me time to do this, and I got a lot of folks I got to evangelize to. All right, ensure that the LFO has access to the PPM system. So they'll have it. Role-based access, allowing a wide cross-section of interested parties to view. Once initial design work of the project is completed, the project team will work closely with the LFO to ensure that they see everything that they want to see. Ultimately, what would be ideal is if we can get it to where this is available to members of the public to also see the funnel and what's going on. So, all right, so the inventory budget notes, and I already told you this is just really a regurgitation of the note. We didn't complete that. We got it to where we could. We used a security tool instead of an inventory tool. We explained why. We're going to come back this again. We're going to keep doing this, and we're just going to get better and better at it over time, but it's going to be an ongoing thing for us. And for the first time out of the gate, we didn't, you know, for everything we had dealt to us, we did pretty well on this one, I feel. So you have the report and the summary data, and with that, I'm ready to answer any questions.
Representative, anything?
It's a lot of material. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I read through it before, so.
No, this was very interesting and very, very, I thought very thorough. So I appreciate it. I think I want to take this presentation and look at it a little more slowly and get back to you, because there's a lot of information in there.
Yes, sir.
And I think we need to take a little closer look, at least I do. Sean?
Senator Riley, Representative Fredericks, just wanted to make a few comments. So certainly Dr. Pettit identified the issue or the challenge relating to capacity of staff of both in his office and within the agencies. Also, don't want to lose sight of the fact that there are some significant technical challenges. For context, when the State Data Center was put in place, there was a decision made that the State Data Center would, and now the Enterprise Technology Services Group, would manage from the router out, mm-hmm. and the agencies would manage, generally speaking, from the router in. And so the difficulty with scanning from a central location and peering in and receiving information is one challenge. The other is the uniformity of networks. Dr. Pettit talked about the fact that each of the agencies that are responsible for their own local area network are configuring those networks in different ways. So that's one challenge. Another has to do with DAS has done a number of studies in the past on the number of what are called active directories. There are over 100 active directories that manage access to the different systems that are deployed. So this is not a problem that's going to be solved in the immediate future, but certainly I think Dr. Pett's aware of those issues, and over time, hopefully the inventory will get better. The ability to have more of a real-time access to that information would be helpful. The last thing I'd mention, Dr. Pettit identified some agency concern about the sharing of vulnerability scanning information. While that information is protected, IT asset information is not protected from disclosure. Identifying what you have, what you own, you know, what assets you've deployed is public information. It is not protected from disclosure. And so certainly there needs to be, certainly if a separate tool is identified for the inventory portion, there should be no difficulty in the future achieving higher and higher agency compliance with providing asset information. So
if I may, our desire is we really view, so IT is essentially a service, not a product. I mean, we have an inventory. We have a lot of things we put. But essentially, it's like electric utility. When my background's from a municipality. We ran an electric utility. We speak of electricity as a service. We don't speak of it, even though they have generators, they do transmission, they do distribution to the homes. It really is electric service. And the reason, and I never understood that for a long time, it really is something that's consumed at the point it's created. Just like IT, information is consumed at the point it can be stored, unlike electricity, but it's still consumed at the point it's needed, it's created. That's really where the value is. And so because of that, I take responsibility for this. When I started in on this project, I really viewed the value being to something Representative Frederick had said previously around the security of that, because those are my points of vulnerability. And so getting an inventory alone would not inform me of my vulnerabilities. A system that is knowing that somebody's running the latest Windows and on this and thus and such hardware doesn't inform me if they're running it with a full patch, fully patched type. And many of the problems that the state of Oregon has faced recently have been because of those kinds of things, those rather low-level, elementary kinds of things that nobody has asked about and nobody has bothered to sift through and find out about. That's really what the opportunity to take the inventory using a tool provided us. It provided us the excuse because, Sean has said, that we're able now. There's no reason for them to not give us the inventory. They have no reason to not give us the inventory. However, what we really want is to mature their posture, their security posture, and this has helped us to do that in the state. Now, as you all know, we got a lot farther to go, but I took this as an opportunity to encourage a maturization of the agency's security rather than the Chicago white pages of the gear that they got. So if I erred in that, that was my responsibility.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's another aspect to this, and it perhaps does not have the same high priority as a security. But what I've also found is they may have the latest Windows version or whatever, OS one, they will not know what the capabilities are of that. And so they may get that information, they may have it set there, but they don't know what they don't realize that they can do a lot more with it. I don't realize, you know, I pick up something.
One computer is hard enough to keep patched all of the little systems on it. So when you're trying to do a whole enterprise, I can completely understand how difficult that is, it looked to me like you've got a really good start.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a very interesting study I saw a long time ago that out of the 1,500 function points that Microsoft Word has, that the average user uses less than 200.
I would bet it's even less. If that was the average, it was 200, I'm surprised. And it was that many.
And it was, what they said, and that was the reason they went to the ribbon. They used to have the pull-down menus because many, many features that were suggested to Microsoft to add to their product were things that they already had. It was simply a matter that people couldn't find them.
Right.
So they changed from the pull-down menus to the ribbon deliberately to provide people with more to give more to bring more awareness to what the package can do. But what you're speaking of has traditionally fallen outside of the responsibility of IT, which is training. And it's very interesting that you bring it up. Going forward, that's one of those things that it clearly belongs to everyone, and so nobody takes care of it. And it is a tragedy of the commons that you could provide such a robust set of tools and that they go largely underutilized or unutilized.
There's another aspect to that, too, and it's an assumption that I ran into with a lot of my friends. There are folks who, many of the folks who are doing the coding and working in the system, assume that everyone would spend time with a new system and discover all of these things. That's just their general assumption, and it ends up being it's a false assumption. But everyone's like me. I would decide to look at all those functions and see what's possible. Well, I wouldn't anymore. I mean, at a certain point, I went, I can't figure out all these. I'm not going to try all these things. But it's that kind of assumption, and that creates its own problems when you're dealing with someone like a DHS, where they now can do certain things that they have been hoping for quite a while. It's actually available, but it's so far down in the system they can't find it. And it is training, and they assume that everyone's learning to do that anyway, that you have the time to pick up that. So it's a training aspect. It's another, as I said, it's not the top priority necessarily for me, but it's something that I think we need to be thinking about.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you. I want to wrap this up so we can get out of here, and I want to ask Sean to let us know what our next session is going to be and what we're going to be talking about.
Chair Riley, Representative Fredericks, next week we're likely going to not hold meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And in part, we're using that as a preparation week for phase two for this committee. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned in our orientation meeting in early February, this is a unique committee in the Ways and Means structure, and there was a desire by the co-chairs for this committee to coordinate closely with the other subcommittees of Ways and Means, public safety, transportation, economic development, education, et cetera. Those committees are beginning to hear budgets. They're beginning to complete their public testimony and move into work session. And so Bob Cummings and I, the two IT analysts for LFO, are working with the Office of the State CIO staff, the Chief Financial Office staff, and our own budget analysts to prepare a series of memos related to specific projects that you all have heard here at a high level. We'll likely begin inviting a select group of agencies back from this point forward for the next six or so meetings, likely two at a time, to give us again a refresh on their projects. We'll have a set of recommendations for the committee to consider, and we'll ask for the committee's adoption. So that's generally what we're going to be doing. We also have, as you know, a variety of policy bills that have passed out of their originating chamber. Some of them are IT related, and we're working with the co-chairs of Ways and Means on assignment of some of those bills here to this committee, and we would work them on their behalf. So more to come. I'll certainly share information with the committee and others just as soon as we have it put together. But at this point, again, next week, Tuesday and Thursday, we're going to give you a bit of a break so that we can prepare for the remaining weeks of the session.
Great. Right. Thank you very much.
So with that, we're going to adjourn.
Great.
We're going to adjourn.
Great.